Good morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up even later with us. Roger Badish up in the newsroom. Jess Rains behind the glass. And we'll be with you here until 5 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is the number. Jump on the line. Send us a text if you like. Patty and Ken are like, come on, who are the guests tonight? Well, we don't have any guests right now.
Wait, they all left you?
Oh, God, no. Well, they did, yeah. Well, I think they're all in the group. They party out there all night after these shows. Roger, it's crazy.
I know.
They're eating pizza. There's usually bourbon. In fact, this is the first night in a long time I haven't walked in and held a bottle of bourbon in my hand. Literally. There's always something good in here. Yeah. It's like she takes Rose, how the hell do we say
Carnival,
the damn thing?
Carnival wagon. Yeah.
And it's like and you know, it's appropriate. Rose Carnival wagon starts at about 5 o'clock. This is what would normally be about 2 o'clock in the morning after that type of party.
Yes.
What Patty's got going on. Yeah. Pizza everywhere, bottles half empty, cups everywhere. It's just a good time.
Patty's kind of like a frat house.
Patty's running a frat house in here, Raj. That's what she's doing. She does it very well, I will say.
She's a house mother for the frat house. Were you ever in a frat fraternity?
No, I went to St. Mary's in Winona,
that's
Minnesota.
Right. Yeah,
there were frats there. There were a couple. But it was never something I wanted to be part of. It wasn't like that, a house or anything really cool. So, no. Yeah. And I'm glad I never did that, I think.
I'm sorry.
Did you?
Not until my senior year. And that's only because I knew just about everybody who was at that house. Phi Sigma Kappa.
So you figured, what the heck? Phi Sigma Kappa, isn't that the musical? Phi Sigma Kappa.
No. We were a social service fraternity. We helped people. That's what we did.
Well, that's
and
cool.
We had some wild parties. I actually made a...
Did you now?
Well, I was the social chairman for my year, and I made a concoction of a liquor-based beverage that when I got done mixing it, the instruction said, and now chill. And so I put it in the refrigerator, and about 3 hours later for the party, I went in to get it, and it had exploded.
What'd you put in? Was it Mentos and Diet Coke?
I have no idea. No, it wasn't a foam thing. It was just I whatever I had put in per the recipe, it exploded.
Wow. Well, yeah. Whoops.
Had to make a quick trip over to the liquor store, pick up a few things.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Mm, boy. Have you been hacked before? Have you gotten that call? Or have you ever had somebody?
No, I haven't gotten hacked. I've gotten fake hack messages, emails, but not phone calls.
Isn't that interesting? So you've gotten the email where it's like your company telling you, hey, something happened? And
yes.
Contact
oh,
us?
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting it right now. I had a PayPal account.
Okay.
Several years ago, I was selling a lot of our old the old toys and stuff, and then dropped it. I didn't do any more transaction, but it was still there. But then I wanted to go back into it and start using it again to see if I could sell the stuff that didn't sell the first time. And I totally forgot my passwords. And the securities involved in trying to get in to find your password or change it were so intrinsic that I just gave up. So I eventually ended up contacting both PayPal and eBay because they were tied together.
Right.
And your PayPal account is tied to your bank account. And I said, I finally got through to them and canceled both accounts. I still had to jump through hoops, but I canceled both accounts. Now, I canceled them a year ago, and now I'm starting to get messages that somebody used my PayPal account to make a purchase here or there, and I'm like, I've sent emails back to PayPal saying, I don't have an account. Why am I getting? And it turns out that they're, what do they call it, phishing or something like that to try to get you to enter information where they can then grab that and use it to hack whatever you got.
Isn't it amazing how smart the criminals are in the world?
And you know, I was going to mention this before when Patty was talking about all that, is the reason why we have chips and this and that and all the other stuff is we're playing catch-up to the criminals. They already know how to do all this stuff. Yeah. So when they figure out, well, we can do this, well, now we've got to come in with a different defense. And they already know that. They already know how to hack it. So we're always playing catch up with our security.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's funny, you mentioned that you're getting these emails. You know, when the phone rings tonight and it's Chase Fraud Prevention, the phone says Chase Fraud Prevention.
Yeah.
You answer it kind of leery.
Right, because you don't know if it's real or not.
And I've gotten a couple emails this week. There was a check we received at Black Diamond. This was, and I still don't understand this. So one of the companies we work with, you know, we work with a bunch of different companies. Mm-hmm. And you invoice them from time to time, or you get a big check at once, or whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a check for under $10,000 a couple of weeks ago. And I deposit it, and I'm very excited because whenever we get money, it's a very exciting time, Raj.
Of course.
Because the bills are always coming. So I deposit the check, and then, you know, usually like the next day, a day later, it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll say your available balance is this.
Sure.
And it'll always say, as a courtesy, we're allowing a portion of this to be available to you right now, but the rest of it will be in a day or so. And so I'm assuming this money's in there, and then like 2 days later, I get an email from Chase saying, due to recent activity, there's insufficient funds for recent activity in your deposit account. Well, first I got one that was something about there's a hold on this deposit you made. Mm-hmm. It'll be available by 9/22. And so I think I deposited last week and was saying this Friday would be available.
Yeah.
And then I was getting some emails saying that a transaction in your deposit account had insufficient funds. And I got that twice, and I'm thinking, how is that possible?
Did they tell you specifically what the transaction was?
It does not in the email. It just says, this is a notice, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So then I finally called Chase. And sometimes I've had this happen before where you get an email and there's a phone number in the email to call.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never call the phone number in the email. I always go to my cards and look on the back and see what's the number.
Right.
Because I don't trust that in this email, because that could be the great setup. You get the email, it looks like it's from them, you call the number, oh yeah, just confirm for us your social and this and that, and blah,
yeah,
and then
no,
the next thing you know, you
that.
Just gave it all away. So I called them to ask it. Now, this was fascinating. So I called them to ask it, and I'm thinking, all right, what did I screw up now?
Mm-hmm.
Because this has happened before, because our personal accounts and my business accounts are all through Chase.
Right.
And so what I have done in the past, because I'm an idiot, is I will have, say, a check from a company that's written out to Black Dog, and on the back of any check I have, I write for deposit only, sign my name, and then write the account number.
Okay.
Just to make sure I don't screw up and just hand this to somebody, right?
Right.
And so there are times when I go to write the account number that on a business check, I'll write our personal account number.
Oh,
Or on a personal account, I'll write our business. Or when I pay myself from Black Dog, I will forget to sign the check or something stupid, you know, that ends up then.
Jeez.
So I called them and I said, you know, I've gotten these emails. I don't know what's going on. Because the weird thing about the emails was there was enough money in the account. It wasn't like they were showing, you know, that there was this charge that we had to decline. So they never explained to me that. But I said, well, I've gotten this notice about this check that's not depositing yet. And I don't know, did I screw something up? Did I not sign it?
Yeah.
And so she starts looking into it. And she's like, no, let me send you over to fraud prevention, blah, blah, blah. So I sent over there and I explained to her what's going on. And she says, let me do a little research. Hold on for a minute. So I hold on for about 5 minutes. She comes back. Okay, this company, blah, blah, blah. Have you done business with them before? And I said, yeah, but I did know that this company had recently broken off from another company, and now they had kind of their own setup. So I think the checks had previously come through a different account, whatever, whatever. So I explained, well, you know, she's like, okay, let me do some research. I'm on hold for literally like 10 minutes.
Mm.
And she comes back and she's like, I'm sorry, I can't confirm something about this company. So because they were going to try to see if they could release the funds earlier.
Right.
And she said, I'm sorry, you know, we can't confirm something with this company. So the funds won't be available till September 22nd.
Oh, no.
So I guess it was like old days where the checks got to clear before they really
released. They got to clear both banks.
I'm guessing in our modern era that most of the checks I send in, Chase has a relationship with whoever the bank is.
Mm-hmm.
So they immediately release the funds even if they don't have them yet. Do you think there's some sort of reciprocal agreements?
Especially if it's if the other account is with Chase.
Yeah,
it seems to happen faster.
I imagine it does, but most often it's not. It's with, you know, Wells Fargo or some big bank. So I'm guessing this company I'm working with has some small local bank that doesn't have an affiliate agreement with Chase. I mean, that's the only thing I can guess.
Be.
Like, I couldn't figure out, like, how, you know.
Well, you know how you can transfer money from your account to somebody else's account?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes if that other person's account is with a bank that, like what you're just saying, that Chase doesn't really have an agreement with,
It takes longer.
You can't do it. It doesn't take longer. You just can't do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... So like we got that going on. I'm getting the call for that. You know, somebody's got my card and they're using it in Roseville, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, man,
nice.
One thing after another.
Anything good in Roseville, Michigan?
It was at an H&M. And then like the funny thing is, so they rejected $74 at an H&M.
Mm-hmm.
Something went through for $84. I can't remember where. But then there was also a charge for $1.50 at like some I forget what they said. It was like initials. Like I couldn't understand what the hell did they charge? Why would you use the stolen card for $1.50?
Like a pack of gum and some Chiclets or something
at the gas station.
At
I guess five
and
dime
at a Circle K.
Hold on. Would say it on the air, Jess. What's the most common place?
Generally, if your accounts are going to be hacked.
Mm-hmm.
The hacker will try to do a normal transaction to make sure that it works before they go and use bigger charges. So common places are gas stations.
And that makes sense, but, you know, I would think you'd get a tank of gas. So they're making a very small, so if it gets rejected, I'll find whatever. And then they walk out versus a bigger one that's going to get turned down. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, they start small and then go big. Yeah. So my boyfriend works in internet security too, and
really?
He can attest to some of those things. But generally when you pay for gas, there's like a $1 credit hold on your card before it goes through because gas stations don't know how much gas you're going to pump in your tank. So they put that hold on your account, and if it registers and if it goes through as a payment, then they know that your card is still valid and they can use that elsewhere.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, and what scared me about it was tied to the debit card. And I don't have much money in the account, but that scares you. Like, I never, ever, and I always tell Colleen the same thing, whenever you're at the grocery store or anywhere, don't use the debit card as a debit card because you don't have to put the PIN in. You know,
exactly. I do the same thing.
And so I always, you know, don't put the PIN in, don't put the PIN in. You don't want that out there because... Companies have been breached before. I want to say, I don't mean to malign anybody, but I want to say Home Depot had it a couple years ago.
Target was big time. Remember, Target was huge.
Yeah. So I never, you know, it's a credit card too. You don't have to use it as an ATM card unless you want cash back. So if we're not getting cash back, don't ever put that PIN number in. But, you know, when you hear it's about the debit card, I'm like, oh, crap, you know, because if for whatever reason, at least with the credit card, you know, I just feel more secure that they're going to cover it. It's going to be fine. When it's actual cash you have that they're taking out.
Right.
Now, I'm like, plus, if they have that card, if they have those numbers that they're using, then maybe somebody's going to figure out a way to use the ATM and start taking massive amounts of cash out.
That would close out the account.
Oh, God.
That's all you need.
All right, 312-981-7200 is the number. We're just staying up all night with you. We're going to have some fun tonight. A lot of different things to talk about. I saw a very interesting video on North Korea and their complicated relationship with China and why China might not be as helpful as we want right now. I thought that was fascinating. Do you ever watch the show Black-ish?
No.
It's it's a really good, funny show that we watch with Jack sometimes. And I saw on social media today a very interesting non-comedic part of the show last night. I want to play some audio from, you know, just track down. Lots of stuff to talk about.
I do remember last season where there was part of one episode that, again, very dramatic, not funny, that was a hit on social media. Like, everybody was retweeting the...
I wonder if I'm seeing something old. Was it the main character in the conference room?
No, this was in the family.
Then
I
think this was brand new.
Well, yeah, it's the new season.
I know, but sometimes you see something on social media and you think it's brand new, and somebody's they've been tweeting that around for years. Yeah. You didn't notice. All right, lots to do, lots to talk about. 312-981-7200. Somebody texted a photo from Whitfield Mall that I've actually seen going around this week. 630 sent in a picture of a Christmas display at Whitfield Mall.
Yeah,
it's September. Yeah. It's 90 degrees out. I know we didn't expect that, but it's September. I never thought I'd have to defend Halloween, but people, give Halloween some room, please.
Well, they did. Halloween's been up for about 4 weeks now.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
If you haven't bought your candy by now.
Yeah, it's no good anymore. Yeah. All right, quick break. News next, 720 WGN. All right, so it's very nice to hear all the former presidents together. They probably weren't all together when they taped that, but it's nice to and this is terrible because we're trying to raise money, all these people suffering from the hurricane. But all I can picture in my head is, once Donald Trump isn't president anymore, is he going to take part in things like this? I can't hear him with all these guys saying, you know, we need help. Yeah, they're all losers, but you're gonna help. You know, what would he? Of course, he wouldn't say that, but like, you can't help but picture him not just going along with that script. I know, now the texts are going to pour in. 2:32 in the morning. Let's get the headlines, Mr. Battish. Is anyone where right now, Raj?
Midway, Tinley Park, and along the lake.
It's September 23rd, for goodness sakes.
Yes, sir.
How in the world is it that warm? Think about it. Our grass is so dead right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember back in, late July, the river out in West Dundee was flooding, and now we're in this insane drought.
Yeah,
I can't remember real rain since like early August.
Yeah, and nothing significant. We had a couple of, at least by us, north side, over the last couple of days, a couple of brief, like 5-minute sprinkles, and it was gone. Tom Skilling is saying that, and I heard him earlier today or yesterday, that this is the heat that blasted through California several weeks ago that set exorbitantly high temperatures, record-breaking temperatures in San Francisco. And
that's right.
Yeah.
I had a friend who went to San Francisco a few weeks ago, and it was like in the high 90s. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen in San Francisco.
No.
And L.A. had really bad mm-hmm. wildfires, like right in L.A.
That's right.
So it's interesting. So just as looking for this piece of audio I saw today, John Coleman, one of the co-founders of the Weather Channel. That's not the John
former
Coleman.
Former WLS-TV weatherman.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, who I have met personally.
So he did an interview on CNN. I do not know how recently. I saw it on social media today.
Mm-hmm.
And he's introduced as the co-founder of the Weather Channel. He corrects him right away. I was the founder, not the co-founder. Yeah. He's all upset about that. He goes on a rant. That, you know, he's like, CNN keeps putting this out and the Weather Channel does. They're all in the, and he did this like 30-second rant on how global climate change is not real. And he's like, I've got the science behind me. You can't just make it up and do this and that. And so he goes on this like rant about how it's just not real. And he's claiming, you know, he's a scientist, and so it's the science. But all these other scientists are saying it is real. And I know that not everybody is on board and agreeing, and I understand that they're, you know, while the people that say it is real say here's the science, science does change over time as we find out more, figure things out. The facts sure. that we have don't necessarily change, but better tools for measuring data, this and that, I think it's very difficult to say anything for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think what most scientists feel they have figured out is that we are affecting the climate and there are changes taking place. And I know people could say, listen, we had an ice age not that long ago. How do we know what's this or what's what? But when you look at everything that's happening,
mm-hmm.
the power of these hurricanes, the earthquakes and how would earthquakes be related to it? I don't know. Maybe they're not. Maybe they are. But the wildfires and the earthquakes and the hurricanes and everything else. And I don't know. It's just, it's been a crazy 2017 so far.
Yeah.
That is for sure. Yeah. Puerto Rico is pretty much just destroyed right now mm-hmm. from what everybody's saying. Mm-hmm. Is the whole island still without power?
It was about 36 hours ago. I think they're starting to get generators in there. But the power grid is destroyed. That's going to take forever to get that thing fixed and up and running. But a relief effort starting to bring in power generators to get certain facilities up and running, like hospitals and facilities like that. But again, to power to individual people's homes, that's going to take quite a while.
I can't imagine how long that's going to take.
It's just devastating.
773 text, by the way, and it's a good point and one I should have thought of earlier. Hey, Matt, isn't the world supposed to end today? So why are we worried about the grass? That's a good point.
Well, but the guy pulled back. You didn't hear this?
No.
Oh, yeah, yesterday. The guy says, well, wait a minute. No, I was a little wrong in my calculations.
Oh.
It's not going to end on the 23rd.
What's going to happen?
I didn't listen after that.
You give a different date, or is it because I thought it wasn't necessarily even an ending. I thought this is kind of a rapture situation.
Oh,
good people get to go away, no. The rest of us suffer through the seven fires of hell type thing.
The seven
which
fires
some of... could argue, are you sure right. that hasn't happened already?
Right. So let's see here. Here it is. Planet X. David Mead, who claimed the world will end Saturday, said doomsday isn't this weekend after all. He tells the Washington Post, the world is not ending, but the world as we know it is ending.
Well,
a major part of the world will not be the same the beginning of October. Mead, a Christian self-published author, laid out his Astronomical Scientific, the Book of Revelation and Geopolitics Ideology, in his book Planet X, the 2017 arrival. He claims that September 23rd, planet Nibiru will collide with the Earth. Planet Nibiru.
Yeah, that's a planet that NASA says they can't find and doesn't exist. So
okay.
Unless it's going to make one hell of a miraculous entrance.
Yeah. Okay. Mead is now saying this event won't mark the apocalypse, but rather a series of dire events over the course of weeks.
So does that, he's still predicting a planet is hitting us today?
At NASA, as you just said, say it's a hoax. Christian leaders have also disputed the claims. Christianity Today calls Mead a made-up leader in a made-up field. Even some translations of biblical scriptures refutes men making claims about knowing the date of the end. Just take a look at Matthew 24:36. You got your copy down there? Matthew 24.
You know what? I left it at home tonight.
You don't? Darn. But about that day of or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Many like Mead have tried to pinpoint doomsday in the past, but here we all are. At least for now.
Yeah.
That's what the article says.
I mean, you'd go along a little more if he wasn't trying to say a planet's going to crash into Earth.
Yeah.
Because we generally, I'm thinking we've got pretty good radar systems that would have detected that by now.
Oh, yeah. The satellite, early warning systems,
something,
all that stuff. Sure.
Something
sure,
would
sure,
have
sure.
said, oh, by the way, there's a planet. Because those planets are kind of big. I mean, they're tracking like school bus size asteroids.
Unless.
Maybe it's hiding behind the moon.
Unless it's from a different time dimension. And will pop through a breach in the time consortium or continuum, or it's on the other side of a black hole, and we can't see it, and it gets sucked through.
When you said when something goes into a black hole, it does not get destroyed. I thought it gets destroyed. I thought a black hole.
I believe black hole sucks out all the energy.
Density of such things that it all just gets crushed.
Yeah.
So,
but that hasn't been studied enough. Black holes.
Nobody's gone in to check it out, have they?
Yeah, right. It's like no one's volunteering, you know.
True. So there's that. But it's funny, you know, when some of these predictions, oh, the world's never going to be the same as this or that. I mean, look at the way that Kim Jong-un and President Trump are speaking to each other, both with, you know, nuclear capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump goes to the UN this week. And talks about, I mean, the fire and fury thing is a long time ago now. Now he talks about, I believe the quote was, totally destroy North Korea.
Right.
And I don't know off the top of my head, but the population of North Korea?
Several million,
is it several million?
I believe so.
I mean, that's the thing that...
I think about 3.3 million.
I'm not very scared of a war with North Korea, just because I don't think it's really going to happen. I think that Donald Trump, negotiator that he is, and I will give him credit that, you know, he is a businessman who's made a bunch of good business deals in his life, probably some really bad ones too, but that's what happens.
But
if you're a risk taker and an entrepreneur, that's what you do. You fail, you bounce back, you get your high, whatever. You know, he's leveraging for everything, I think, so so I'm okay with that. I, you know, the rhetoric gets a little frightening at times because he's not dealing with, because here's the thing that I think Donald Trump probably isn't used to, is that, you know, in business, he's dealing with somebody who in the end wants to make money. And here, he might be dealing with, as we are with ISIS and things like that, people who just don't give a blank about anything necessarily.
You mean the North Koreans?
Well, Kim Jong-un.
Or Kim Jong-un. Yeah.
Or ISIS, say, you know, when you're dealing with terrorists who are willing to sacrifice their lives...
Right.
You don't get a lot of bargaining power. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Because there's where do you work from?
Yeah.
Threaten to kill him. Yeah.
Well, that's what they're...
And with Kim Jong-un, I think that just threatening to blow up the country isn't really stopping him. Mm-hmm. And he knows that if he gets nuclear capabilities, everybody's got to stop threatening and let him at the table. He wants a seat at the big boy table, right?
True.
He's
yeah.
the kid on Thanksgiving still at the fold-up card, you know, card table with the chairs, mm-hmm. and he doesn't like it. And I, you know, you can understand that.
Right.
He wants to force his way in. And how do you do that? You get nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And here he is. And a lot of people are still saying negotiate in peace and this and that. Kim Jong-un he doesn't care for peace. He doesn't care, clearly, if his country is starving, if people are suffering. That doesn't seem to be the greatest concern. Or if it is, he feels that we will suffer now. But once we are part of everything and once we're big enough, mm-hmm. then they got a deal.
Yeah. This kind of reminds me, and I'm looking it up now. There was a movie with Peter Sellers
okay.
called The Mouse That Roared. It's a 1955 Cold War satirical novel by Irish-American writer Leonard Wibberly, which launched a series of satirical books about an imaginary country in Europe called the Duchy of Gran Fenwick. And I believe it was commentary about modern politics. So let's see here. The plot retains a pre-industrial economy dependent almost entirely on making Pinot Grand Fenwick wine. However, an American winery makes a knockoff version, putting the country on the verge of bankruptcy. The prime minister decides their only course of action is to declare war in the United States, expecting a quick and total defeat since their standing army is tiny and equipped with bows and arrows. The country confidently expects to rebuild itself through the largesse that the United States bestows on all its vanquished enemies, as it did for Germany through the Marshall Plan at the end of World War II. With the counterfeit wine, they send a formal written declaration of war. It's misplaced by the State Department. Receiving no response, the duchy is forced to muster some troops and hire a ship to stage an actual invasion.
Okay. Well, I don't think that...
He doesn't have a fake army?
Well, he's got one of the largest armies in the world, they say, right?
I think that's like the biggest employer.
I believe they do. Yeah. I believe they have a huge army. Do they have the capabilities to do a lot with it? That we don't know.
Yeah.
But if they get a nuclear-tipped missile...
Yeah.
That solves a lot of problems. And the problem for the U.S. and the allies is if we do attack him, if we say, okay, we can't let this go any further. He can't have nuclear capabilities. He's just too,
But who's going to stop him from having those? Everyone says we're not going to let him have it. But who's going to go up there and say, I'm taking your missiles?
Donald Trump would.
Going to walk right up to Kim Jong-un.
Well, he's not going to walk up to anybody.
But how's he going to get him out of there? We fire ours at him. He fires his at us.
Well, so there's the question. If ultimately you can't stop him from getting them.
Right.
If sanctions aren't going to be enough, if any peaceful solution keeps proving, it seems, that it's not enough,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to get this, do you go in preemptively and take him out?
What, a little Bay of Pigs action? You
yeah.
saw how that happened.
Well, I didn't.
Well, it
I saw
failed.
The movie.
It failed.
Right.
Horribly.
Well, Roger, we fail at things horribly all the time in life. Right. It doesn't mean we quit and go home.
That's true. But still.
But I mean, it's a legitimate question, and this is different than Bay of Pigs. I don't know how, but I think it is, in that here is somebody who repeatedly over the years has vowed destruction of the U.S., who is getting the capability to actually inflict some of that destruction. The possibility of sending a nuclear missile to the U.S. mainland. Imagine that. A threat from another country that they're going to nuke the U.S. And it's not Russia or somebody who, while we have issues with, we have learned that economically we want to be partners with and work with. And here's a guy that might just say, screw it, let's do it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so what do you do? Do you just keep marching on with sanctions and talk and this and that while he keeps testing, while he keeps doing what he wants to do? Because they haven't, I mean, they've sanctioned the hell out of North Korea.
Yeah.
But I saw an interesting piece online today about Russia, about China's complicated relationship with North Korea. So China has a huge border with North Korea. And the story went that they still supply them with things and do whatever trade they do with them because they don't want millions and millions of North Koreans pouring into China. Because if they want to escape the country, if it becomes unstable, if things fall apart and they can get out, China's where they would go. So China doesn't want a regime failure there because they don't want the influx of millions and millions and millions of North Koreans. Or maybe they don't want a democratically controlled Korea. Maybe they like, you know, having somebody who's a bit under their thumb. But they say, listen, it's a complicated relationship, and there's reasons that China would not want the status quo to change. Okay. China did tighten up regulations recently pretty hard and has said their ministers, prime minister, somebody said something in the last week pretty harsh towards North Korea. But we've had a lot of talk over the years. So what would you see done? What if Donald Trump said, you know what? Screw it. We're not waiting for them to have a nuclear weapon. It's kind of the same thing with Iran. There's a lot of talk about Iran, and we gave them all this money to help shut down their nuclear program. Are they really doing it? Or eventually are they? We're going to find out that now they have a nuclear weapon. That would be terrible. There's a lot of concern about that, but what do you do about it? Do you preemptively attack?
And if you preemptively attack, what does that do to your relationship with China and some of the other countries that have kind of been on the fence, but that America kind of needs to be in favor with in order to get things done other than North Korea, other world events, other world issues?
That's the thing that's worrisome about the whole thing. There's many things, I guess, that are worrisome about that. Mm-hmm. One is just attacking a country. But we have gone in preemptively, right? We did it in Iraq and then kind of had buyer's remorse on that one. And Iraq's still incredibly unstable. Afghanistan's still incredibly unstable. We haven't been able to, you know, move past those things.
But in Iraq, America was just one of several countries that have tried to go in and change things there.
But we, I mean, after September 11th, we led the charge.
Well, right.
With the WMD. Yeah.
And we felt justified in our actions because of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's how they justified it, was September 11th. Right. And that turned out to be.
But where's the justification here?
He's threatening to blow us up with a nuclear weapon. If Saddam had that.
Right.
We still look back and say, yeah, that was the right thing. Now there's a lot of question about whether we should have ever done what we did there. But if Saddam had a nuclear weapon and was threatening to reach the U.S. with it, we wouldn't have thought twice about it, I think, especially right after September 11th.
But what I'm saying is September 11th was the catalyst.
It was.
All we have as a catalyst right now is the rhetoric.
Well, you have rhetoric, but you also have something that can back it up. They've tested missiles now.
Right, they're testing.
That could get to the U.S. They've shown a capability now of getting to the U.S. So that's fine, Roger. You say, well, they're just testing. Well, they're just this. So what do we wait for? Do we wait until they shoot one at the U.S.? Do 10,000 or 30,000 people in the U.S. in a major city have to die before we do anything?
Because America has already started to put in place retaliatory efforts,
not first strike,
to shoot down anything.
We're not shooting down a nuclear missile. I want to say, Roger, that I've read stories that said we wouldn't be able to do it. And let me ask you this, So if North Korea gets the weapon and they're ready to go and they say, okay, Chicago's first on the list, if you don't meet our demands by 2 days from now at noon, we launch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And our government comes out and says, folks, we're not meeting their demands. We don't deal with terrorists. And don't worry, we'll shoot it down. It'll never make it to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
you're sitting secure here in the town going, ah, I'm sure we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Our government has it under control.
I am, yeah.
You, come on.
No, I am.
You would trust that, yeah, we can shoot. We've never had to shoot a nuclear missile out of the sky, but what better time to test it?
We have shot missiles out of the sky before.
We have.
Yes.
Yes. We haven't shot a nuclear missile out of the sky.
But a missile is a missile.
I think that science
would disagree
with that.
The nuclear part is just the payload on the tip. The missile is a missile. It's
I believe we have shot down short-range missiles from closer locations.
Well,
I don't know all the details. You're right, maybe, but I think I've read stories that said we're not going to be able to do that necessarily. I don't know.
I haven't read any of those stories.
I do not.
I've seen in the news is that they have done tests. I believe in Japan, American equipment, to shoot down. They did test and they were successful. And so I'm fairly confident. Remember the, Scud missiles in the Middle East? Those were shot down, by the Israelis with American equipment. So, I don't know.
But I believe that Scud missiles are much shorter range things like that.
They are. They are, and they're not carrying a nuclear payload.
That's the other thing. So say we can't. Say, yeah, no, we'll knock those things out of the sky. Yeah. No worries.
What's the fallout?
Yeah, what happens then?
I don't know. Well, like they're saying now, if they test this hydrogen bomb and the fallout goes into the ocean, there's going to be a ton of pollution, just like the Japanese nuclear plant that failed, and the pollution was seen and tested and shown that it made it into California along the shore, came through the water and polluted along the shore. So,
all right, I got to take a break, or we're going to be late for news. So let me just read you this from CNN. This is back on August 10th when North Korea was talking about how it was going to launch missiles over Guam they might bomb Guam.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Mount, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, told CNN the U.S. military could use its THAAD defense system or Aegis destroyers to stop any North Korean projectiles. THAAD, or the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, is one of the U.S.'s main weapons against offensive missiles. If they had confidence from the readings that they would not hit U.S. territory, it's possible they'd just let them fall in the sea, but I think they'd also take a very serious look at shooting them down, he said. If the missiles landed within 25 miles of Guam as threatened, according to UN law, they would fall within the U.S. exclusive economic zone, although not their territorial waters. They've slowly developed their capabilities, but we stand in high confidence with the U.S. Defense Department's ability not only to defend Guam and the surrounding states, but also the continental U.S. There are several layers of ballistic missile defense, but Bruce Bennett, a senior defense analyst at the RAND Corporation, told CNN it would ultimately be Donald Trump's decision whether to test their missile defenses. This is an experimental system. We could potentially miss or hit. We don't know for sure. And even people who make cell phones, who have substantially more testing than THAAD does, sometimes have cell phones burn up, he said. Mount suggests an attempt to shoot down the missile might be exactly what Kim Jong-un wants, as missing even one projectile would be an embarrassment for the U.S. military. So, I guess we do think we have it, but if anything goes wrong, could you imagine?
Anything is possible.
So,
anything is possible.
After the news, the question becomes,
yeah,
do you wait until they're shooting missiles? Do you wait until they have a nuclear tip missile that can reach the U.S. and they shoot it before we do anything? Let's take a quick break, then we'll get the news next. 720 WGN. Some interesting text coming in on the threat of a nuclear missile coming from North Korea and what we should do about it. Also, your phone calls when we come back. 312-981-7200. I'd be interested in hearing what you would want the U.S. to do if this threat gets even more tense and more reliable that something is actually going to happen. The news now at 3:03 in the morning with Mr. Roger Badish. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for staying up late with us, staying up overnight with us. If you're driving across the country or just hanging out at home, you can hang out with us. We'll be here until 5 a.m. when I believe Orion will take over with the morning show. 312-981-7200 is the number if you'd like to get on the phone and chat with us. We're talking about the latest volley of insults between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump. Kim Jong-un threatened Trump Trump threatened Korea. Trump called Kim Jong-un. Well, he was calling him Rocket Man earlier this week. He was, you know, and I wonder if they're, how he sits around and works these things out. Like, is he talking with aides? Like, you know, he's got Crooked Hillary and got, what, Lion Ted Cruz, Little Marco Rubio, and he's had others. Mm-hmm. And so he came up with Rocket Man for Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un then gave a speech directly to Trump, and then the translation, they used the word dotard. Am I saying that right?
I believe so.
I know it's turd reminds with rhymes with bird because I read about this. So I believe it's dotard, which means old and senile, basically. So good one, burn. And then Trump comes back with, I think he went, you know, Rocket Man sounds cool. I'd be a Rocket Man. I don't like Rocket Man. What else we got? He went to Madman, which is, you know, I will say this. Donald Trump is usually more creative with his mean nicknames towards people. What is he calls Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas? You know, he's got a kind of a slick burn for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And Madman, I guess that's his way of saying I'm taking this more seriously. It's not, you know, Crooked Hillary or Lion Ted Cruz. He's a madman. And although I don't think Kim Jong-un's going to get all offended by that, like I bet Trump was offended by the dotard one.
Yeah.
So they exchange this back and forth.
I don't think either of them are fazed.
I think Donald Trump gets offended. I do think that. You know he does. And if they once they told him, when he says, well, what the hell does that mean? And they said it means kind of seeing an old man. I bet he was pissed. I don't see him being like, yeah, whatever. I see him get, he gets offended at things. That's why I get, he's been mad at Obama forever. Look at the grudge he holds against him.
I don't think in this case he would. I think he probably, when he heard the translation, he probably laughed. Ha ha. Is that the best he can do? Well, take this.
I don't think so.
I don't think he got offended.
I think he said, damn it.
I don't think he gets offended. I think he just gets even. He said that. He has said it.
He says that.
Yeah.
I know he says that, Raj. Of course he doesn't say, I get offended. Nobody, who have you ever known that says, I get really offended when people say things like that? Nobody says they get offended, but you can tell by the way people react to things when they have a thin skin about things. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump has a thin skin about certain things. He definitely does, I think. Mm. So I bet he was really annoyed with that. So now he's saying, you know, hey, we'll wipe them. He gave the speech to the UN, said we'll completely destroy them. So we're talking about at what point, as now North Korea says their next thing is they're going to test an H-bomb over the Pacific, mm-hmm. which has everybody up in arms.
Right.
And the question was, you know, Roger said he feels safe that we could shoot down a nuclear missile if it was headed towards us. Because the question I brought up was, do we take preemptive action? President Donald Trump is the type of leader who would say, hell yes, we ain't letting him get that bomb. We're going to take care of this. And that's why some people completely love him. President Obama or any other president recently has tried to deal diplomatically with North Korea as to the best of our diplomatic capabilities, I would say, mm-hmm. right? And try to push the other countries into being harder on them, things like that. And it just has bought North Korea time to develop their weapons, and now they've gotten pretty far along. And, you know, the people that know believe they've now got a missile that can reach the U.S. They're trying to miniaturize their nuclear weapons to fit on a warhead and then have that capability. So we talked about, could the U.S. shoot one down? Somebody texted that during Iraq, we shot down 3 of 5 on average. Now, that's not the type of odds we can take, Raj, into this.
All right, well, so here's my thinking again, is that North Korea probably only has enough nuclear material for 1 or 2 missiles. I don't think they're rolling in the dough, not only for the material, but the actual missiles.
Right.
You know, I don't see from the film that has come out of there showing the nuclear test or the missile test, I don't see a vast array of missile silos or towers.
Yeah, I'm sure they can't make,
you know what I'm saying?
They can't compete with us.
Right.
In the missile race.
I think
they need one.
Right, but then if you put up like 1,000 of ours against their one, that's what I'm saying.
We have the capability to just, of course we do. The question, Raj, is when do we use that?
When we get the early warning that it has launched.
So
you take it out in the sky.
Hopefully we take it out in the sky. We don't know that we can do that.
Nothing in life's guaranteed.
The United States and its allies have two primary missile defense options to intercept a missile between North Korea and Guam. And South Korea, recently deployed THAAD missile defense system, would not be able to intercept a launch toward Guam, but could quickly detect the launch on its radar. Guam itself is equipped with its own THAAD missile system, which could intercept any missiles launched from Pyongyang toward the island. The system designed to engage multiple targets simultaneously, so that should be quite feasible too, Bennett said. However, Bennett added, it depends on how far away the missiles were targeted, as the total range of THAAD was 124 miles. The closer you get to that, the more you're stressing the performance of the system, he said. Another stupid computer is freezing up.
So they have to get the earliest possible warning that there has been a launch and track it as quick as possible so that you have enough time to hit it multiple times or at least attempt it.
And the question becomes, and I know you say, okay, well, if we take it out of the sky.
Yeah.
But what if we miss? And it hits L.A., or it hits Chicago, or it hits Houston, or it hits Dallas. And wipes out, say, instantly kills, let's say, 30,000 people and destroys parts of a city for a certain amount of time.
If a nuclear device were to land in a populated area, 30,000 would not be a good estimate. That's way too small.
Okay.
You get a nuclear device, it's, yeah.
No. So do you take a chance on that? And I know the pacifists in all of us would say, of course we can't preemptively take out a country. And I wouldn't want us to take out a country like he's threatening to do. Mm-hmm. I think if we were attacked, if a nuclear missile landed in the United States, I think he absolutely would completely take out that country. And which would be sad because there would be millions of innocent people who did nothing in their lives but suffer under this regime, mm-hmm. who would suffer because of that.
Now, let me throw one more thing in the mix. If we take your hypothesis and North Korea launches a nuclear missile towards the United States or a U.S. property or a U.S. ally, and it is successful in that device landing and exploding and causing damage and loss of life, would the U.S. be the only country to retaliate?
I don't think they would. I think then others would certainly step up too. I don't think you'd need other countries to retaliate because the U.S. would handle it all very quickly.
Well, true, but the U.S. has allies, and with the talk through NATO and all of the other organizations, that we cannot have this happen in the world, that we cannot have nuclear devices exploding and destroying the world, even though most of the major countries have them, the belief being that if everyone's got one, no one's going to fire one.
Right.
You know?
I do believe that if they ever did it, that would be the end of Kim Jong-un's regime. He would get taken out, at the very least. He would get taken out somehow by other countries, by us, whatever.
Would it be that way, or would it be bombs exploding and killing people?
Well, you would hope that as minimally...
Because, you know, he's going in a bunker. He's going to be in a bunker long before that missile gets fired from North Korea. You know he's already going to be safe down underground somewhere.
Well, I
so
imagine...
So how do you take care of him?
I imagine you get people in there to track him down. Whatever you have to do, whether it's invade the country, I would hope we wouldn't just start sending nuclear missiles back in.
Do you think that effort's already underway?
To get him out?
To track him down.
I imagine that's a very good question. I imagine there's things we don't know about happening to try to get to him. I think that would be, again, that you know.
CNN was just there. Well, and I don't want to say just, but... while he was in power. CNN just aired a special last weekend, Life in North Korea.
And so they were allowed in there?
They were in North Korea.
Okay. And so you think they were also there trying to poison him?
No.
But you're thinking, do we have something like that going on, a covert operation?
Right. I mean, North Korea, every so often, you know, arrests and jails some foreigners, calling them spies and all this and everything. So it's not
well,
that...
Well, foreigner's not going to get it done. We've got to get to a Korean, I would think, somehow.
Again, you know, this is what happened in the Bay of Pigs. They got nationals who had come to the U.S. to go back and do it. It wasn't. It was under U.S. forces management, but it was the nationals that went back in and tried to take back the country, and it failed. Again, they probably, you know, the U.S. forces probably learned their lesson.
Right.
But how do you deal with this? How do you get in there and subvert the Korean military and security and get close enough to him and his supporters to take him out? The guy's got an iron fist control over that.
That's the thing, is I imagine this is so extremely tough because you hear reports, there were some news stories out today about somebody that escaped from North Korea who actually was leading a relatively good life there, mm-hmm. who said they saw classmates ripped out of schools, taken away to be sex slaves, that supposedly keeps all these sex slaves. But that also, she saw that he would have these public executions
mm-hmm.
and these musicians, and I don't remember why they were killing musicians, if they thought they were... spies or what the charge yeah. was, but supposedly like 14 musicians were killed. And he doesn't just do, you know, we've heard stories about having dogs attack people and killing them.
Mm-hmm.
But this story was that these musicians were killed by anti-aircraft guns. So if you think about an anti-aircraft gun, that's not mm-hmm. a rifle.
No.
That's a massive piece of machinery.
Right.
That she said the people would basically be obliterated. And then once they did that, tanks repeatedly ran over them.
Mm. And, you know, he's taken out members of his own family.
Of his own family. And, yeah. and he theoretically has these type of public things mm-hmm. to make people see and realize that if you go against the regime, it's not just we're going to execute you. It's mm. we're going to make this painful and public and all of these terrible things.
Mm.
So what do you do? A couple of calls coming in right now to chat about this. Chris, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Long time, first time.
Excellent.
I don't know if you or Roger remember about a month ago, one of our nuclear reactors was hacked.
I don't remember that story.
Yeah, it was about a month ago. And my fear is that if he has a one shot to get us, he will take it. But I fear that they somehow could hack into the nuclear plants and close them down.
Hmm.
And causing meltdowns and kind of catch us with our pants down, jam our communication. Because someone is feeding them money. If there are sanctions that are so bad against them, how do they keep having missiles? You know what I mean? Somebody has to be supplying them with some kind of money.
Well, they do still do some trade. It's been restricted. There's probably some underground trade. There's concerns that Russia is supplying them
exactly.
with some stuff, and who knows what the truth is or not. But I think a lot of it is also most of the country is starving, and he takes the resources they have and puts it into the military.
Correct.
And so, you know, that's interesting. I'm not so worried about them doing that. Although, who knows? To me, a nuclear weapon flying over here is much worse than... Because I would like to think, Chris, and I don't know enough about our nuclear plants or things like that, but I would like to think that if it was hacked into to be shut down, that we have plans in place for that type of thing to happen, whether it's an airstrike, a missile strike, a power plant emergency, anything. I would hope that that the U.S. is up to code and up to snuff enough that if one of our plants starts melting down, we have shutdown plans in place. And I know everything's not perfect and we're all fallible and things could go awry, but you'd like to think that we have plans in place, especially in this era of hacks, because that has been a threat now for at least 10 years. So you'd like to think that we've upgraded facilities and we have plans in place. especially in the light of the last year and all the Russian hacks and different things that are begrudgingly being acknowledged happen, hopefully were... where was the story, Chris? Where did a nuclear plant get hacked?
I'm trying to remember.
I got it right here. They did not identify it. They didn't identify the name, but they hacked into the business computers of the system. They didn't hack into the operational computers that controlled the power plant. So there was a very low warning level. But it was also during the same week where a malware attack impacted companies in Russia, Ukraine, and Europe, including one of the systems It says one of the systems affected by it was the one that monitors radiation levels at a nuclear power plant in Chernobyl. Mm. So they had to manually monitor the radiation levels because the computer was they couldn't use the computer. But again, they're claiming the one that came into the U.S. Hacked into the ones that run the business side of that nuclear plant, you know, like the scheduling of employees and documents and that kind of stuff.
You know, you'd hope that the important stuff isn't online in a way that could just be hacked into.
Well, but everything's connected in some way, shape, or form.
I imagine it is, but my God, you would think there's some things where, like, you know what? We shouldn't have this be remote accessible because that would be bad. I guess they need to have that in case something bad happens so that, you know, whatever, if there was an attack, they could remotely shut things down or whatever. But you would think there's some things like, you can't have that online. What if somebody gets to that? It's got to be people there.
Yeah,
I think we move away from, you know, the what if category to it could happen.
That's for sure.
We're much closer to that. And, I mean, we're preparing ourselves, but, you know, you're hearing everybody's getting hacked everywhere. All these big companies are getting hacked and all this. And it's like, we were at one time one of the strongest nations in the world. And under his control, I mean, we're the most vulnerable now.
Well, Chris, we didn't just become the most vulnerable in the last 6 months. Listen, I'm not a fan, but I will say this. If we've allowed that to happen, it's been over the last decade or two, and I'm not blaming President Obama. I'm not going to blame President Trump or President Bush or anybody, but we're not paying enough attention or putting enough resources into these possibilities. We weren't imaginative enough 10 years ago. 20 years ago, we didn't think, or very few people took seriously, the idea of planes being flown into buildings. But we're also probably not taking seriously enough the ideas of what can be done by a cyber attack. We worry about nuclear bombs coming here. We worry about attacks and physical things. But we probably don't pay enough attention to how much... Because terrorism doesn't always have to be, although the sexy part for the terrorists is killing people and the glory that comes with sacrificing their lives, whatever. But economic damage is very good for terrorists, too. And the economic damage they could inflict on us with a nuclear meltdown, with shutting down a banking system, things like that. And that's much easier for them to pull off from where they are than trying to get people here. Chris, thank you so much for checking in. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Matt. Great show.
You have a great weekend. Ron is on the line, too. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing? I'm a little froggy in the voice. Bear with my voice.
You got it.
As I was telling your producer, you know, the ultimate goal of Korea for a long time, North Korea, even before the current leader, Rocket Man, if you will, even his father and the successors before them, the ultimate prize is to take control over South Korea.
Right.
Now, if they did make a nuclear attack against the United States, like you guys just said, hasta la vista, baby, that's the end of it. What would they gain from that? What I think is actually happening now is they're kind of like, you know, like what you're talking about now. It's diffusing and using a different tactic. Say, hey, we got nuclear weapons. It's the other cyber attacks or the infrastructure, the electric grid, that you got to worry about, because if they get a hold of that, that would disrupt, and then that's when they take their chance to take over South Korea. That's my theory, and I've actually heard this and read this from some military experts and political experts.
So they'll try to create a big enough distraction that then they could launch an attack on South Korea?
Well, if we're too busy worrying about our grid, then the barn gates open.
Yeah, do you think that's... Yeah, it does, but I mean, listen... Don't we have enough people stationed in Guam and elsewhere that even if we had problems with our electric grid. I can't see us saying, you know what, we don't have time to handle South Korea and protect our allies. We've got to deal with this situation.
Well, that's the chess match that he's playing. That's the billion-dollar question.
Well, they did write about that in another piece I was just reading from, that, you know, while Kim Jong-un keeps saying he needs nuclear weapons to be able to fend off any attack from the U.S., they believe the real reason he wants them is because his goal is to reunite the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah, exactly.
And take back South Korea.
Yep.
So hopefully maybe he never truly intends to use the bomb, because I think you're right. Once he uses it, it's game over for him. And if he realizes that, hopefully then it's just the chip that he wants to have, the threat of it. But it's scary to think, is this guy playing with a full deck? Would he know that if he drops it, that's the end for him, so he can't take that chance? And does he try to goad us into making the first move? Because China has also said, if we attack Korea, they're not going to be happy with us. They don't want us to attack Korea preemptively. They said if Korea drops a bomb, then it's on and the U.S. can do what they want, but that the U.S. cannot preemptively attack Korea. So we're hamstrung also by our relationship with China. And while China is being pushed and is being harder and harder on Korea, they only want to go so hard, too, because they don't want to cause major disruption over there on their border.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. All right, Ron, thanks so much for checking in, buddy.
Take care.
You bet. Have a great morning. Matt Bubala with you on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio in the historic Tribune Tower building here on Michigan Avenue. It's a beautiful night out on Michigan Avenue. It's warm. People are still out. It's a little late in the night. You should probably be headed home. Not out getting into trouble. Rod, you mentioned that the Cardinals are now in second place.
I believe.
The Brewers have fallen to third place. Cubs magic number at 5.
Right.
Earliest they could clinch the division would be on Monday night. That would be if the Cubs win Saturday and Sunday's games and the Cardinals lose Saturday and Sunday's games of their own. Then the Cubs play the Cardinals on Monday night. So if the Cubs win 3 straight, the Cardinals lose 3 straight, Cubs are in the playoffs.
Correct.
Whether or not that will happen, I don't think it's going to happen that quickly.
Been awfully tight the last 2 nights.
Hey,
both
10th inning wins, right?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and they were both down.
I went to bed last night. Cubs were losing.
Mm-hmm.
They were down a run.
I know. I'm getting very...
Another interesting start for John Lackey.
Yeah.
Although they showed a stat early in the game that Lackey had the second best ERA in September going into last night.
Really?
Behind only Clayton Kershaw. Now, it's September, 23rd now.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, he probably
maybe
had
one more
three starts in September.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, well, maybe it's a really small sample, but that's 3 starts is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And
and he got thrown out of one of them.
And he did get
thrown
out of one of them, and we knew he'd given up some runs. If he didn't have those first innings, he'd be a Cy Young Award-winning pitcher, I think.
Yeah.
But that John Lackey, just can't get on board with him.
And
he drives me
insane. I'm still worried about the bullpen.
Well, yeah, except for Wade Davis. If we could just pitch the starters till the 8th and then have Wade Davis in the 9th, I think we'd be in really good shape.
Yeah, it's not going to work that way.
No, it never does.
Yeah.
But it was good to see Jake Arrieta back, and he threw 5 innings the other night, so he's on his way back. John Lester had a rough outing the other night, but he's had a heck of a season. Kyle Hendricks has been a great pitcher again.
Mm-hmm.
And then
have to be consistent, though. You can't have a 17-2 game and then lose 8-1. You can't do that.
Well, you'd like them not to do that, but sometimes that happens.
We got spoiled last year. I know I did. I got depressed real quick this season.
See, that's how Colleen was, too.
Yeah.
She gets so angry about the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Raj? They're about to make the playoffs yet again. Defending world champions. And I'm just not going to be that stressed going into October.
A lot better teams going into the playoffs, too.
Yeah, there are. But if the Cubs don't win the World Series this year, I'm not going to be crying.
I am.
I would love if they'd win it again. But we just won it for the first time in 108 years.
I don't want it to be a fluke.
It is never a fluke. Baseball is too hard for it to be a fluke. 162-game season, 3 rounds of playoffs. Now, it's not like the old days where you just get into the World Series. It's a long season. It's not a fluke. They won it legit. Had to come back from down 3 games to
1.
So We still have that. I'm cool with it. I want them to win again. I would love if they won again. It's going to be icing on that beautiful cake if they
win
again.
I want them to win one more time. Then I know I can live with myself that it wasn't a fluke. They will have two World Series. I'll be a happy camper the rest of my life. They can do whatever they want after that. I just got to have that second straight win. I felt the same thing with the Hawks.
773 is trying to tell me the magic number is 4, but that is not true. The magic number is 5 because the Brewers are actually behind.
Right. If the Brewers St. had Louis. Stayed in second place, if they yeah. had that better record
but
than St. Louis.
But because St. Louis won, right. St. Louis has a better record. The magic number is still 5.
Right.
It's number 4
yeah,
over
we only
Milwaukee.
Gained, but we only Milwaukee's gained in... one game on our magic number because they flipped.
Oh, 630 tells me I couldn't understand this text for a minute. Right. It's about North Korea. They wrote, The musicians were accused of making a pornographic video. That's right. That's why those musicians were killed. They were accused of making a pornographic video. Mm-hmm. 3-3 run says, why don't they send Dennis Rodman? Well, Rodman has offered to, because he's friends with Donald Trump. Yeah. They were on Celebrity Apprentice.
And he's friends with Kim Jong-un.
Very good friends with Kim Jong-un.
Well, remember when... Jesse Jackson used to go around the world negotiating things, especially for prisoners of war.
He did do that back in the day.
Remember? Yeah.
Where is old Jess now? When they take it out in the sky, won't it explode in the air? Then what?
Yes, it will. And then there will be fallout.
So we got to get to it early on.
Well, early
well,
on.
Well, we'd like to. We don't want to shoot it down after it's already over U.S. airspace.
The earliest you'll be able to get it is once it's reached its maximum height and
that's
has already
time you can get it?
I believe by the time the computers react and everything's mobilized, I think that the rocket will already have reached its maximum height and probably already started its trajectory. It's kind of like a golf ball. You know how you hit it and goes up, and then it kind of flattens out for a little bit and then comes down on the curve.
Uh-huh.
I think you can catch it when it's going up just as it's hitting its maximum height. I think that's how all that works.
630 says he's bought them time, as in Trump. If any president bought them time, it was Obama. He pussyfooted around with them for 8 years. And that's fine. You can say that. But I think you also have to say that about President Bush and Clinton. I think that this Korean,
all the president.
This Korean situation has been pussyfooting for a very long time.
Well, look at where the country's attention has
and
been focused
and,
on.
And let me say,
it's
Obama,
the Middle East.
Obama or Bush, when you say they pussyfooted around with them, what did you want them to do?
Yeah.
We couldn't go attack them when
there
they
was
didn't
no
even
threat.
Have nuclear weapons. You know, they're being jerks and they're idiots and they're mm-hmm. whatever, and they called us names forever. But what were we going to do?
Yeah, they did not have nuclear capability. They did not have the missile capability.
And I don't think it's like we've been funding. Like, people are very upset at the billions of dollars to Iran. And I don't understand that whole one to comment on it. But it's not like we gave a bunch of money to North Korea and then they still came up with the nuke. I think we've given them nothing and isolated them more and more and more and more for decades now, right? Probably ever since the war.
Yeah.
630 says U.S. cannot move on North Korea without China. Need to guarantee China that U.S. will feed and help with North Korean refugees to ease the burden. All right, we'll get back on to North Korea another time. Another time, another place. So, Cubs, let's lighten things
up. Now I'm going to get frustrated over this. The Cubs.
They're 9-1 in their last 10. What are you frustrated about?
Look, I'm older than you, right?
Five games. No, stop. Stop, Grandpa. You and I have both been alive the same amount of time since the Cubs last won the World Series.
No, less than a year.
So I don't want to hear about, they won the World Series just last year.
And I'm happy for them.
Then enjoy it.
I cry every time I watch that last game. I'm sobbing all over the place. My wife just like flips her hand at me and says, oh, shut up.
That's not what she's flipping at you.
Yeah. I have lived through heartaches.
Let's not live through
disappointments.
And
I know what the Cubs history has been.
Roger, that history all got cleansed last year.
No, it did not.
Yes, it
no,
did.
No, it did not.
Oh, come on.
It did not cleanse
it
away
did.
The past.
It did. The goat is gone. Ronnie is smiling up in heaven. Things are good in Cubbydom. Let it go and just enjoy. Let's go through this one October enjoying the run, not fretting that here's how they blow it. Let's just enjoy it.
I'm not fretting yet about here's
you
how they blow
said,
it, but
you
I'm
just,
hesitant.
I just brought up the Cubs.
I'm hesitant.
Now I'm going to get frustrated.
I'm hesitant.
You can be hesitant.
I am.
Okay.
And I have an ulcer from that.
I'm not expecting them to win the World Series this year.
What?
I am not expecting the Cubs to win the World Series this year.
By the way, I apologize for people listening on the radio whose eardrums I just hurt.
If they do, listen, they've got some really tough. We've got the Nationals and the Dodgers who are really good.
Yep.
At least they were until about a month ago, and then they both kind of imploded.
Dodgers just clinched last night.
Yes, but they are not the Dodgers from 2 months ago. And maybe the Cubs are heating up at the right time. Everybody else is cooling off a little bit, so maybe we go into this really strong. Who knows? But if the Cubs – listen, I will be bummed if the Cubs get knocked out in the first round. But if the Cubs make it to the NLCS again and they don't get to the World Series, I'll survive that. I'd be more upset, honestly, if they made it to the World Series and lost. You hate to make it to the championship and then lose in the championship. But the fact that they're in the playoffs again for the third year in a row, they've got this great team of really likable guys, except for Ian Happ, who's just some kind of, I don't like him.
You don't like him?
I don't like Ian Happ.
Why? What has he ever done to you?
I think part of it is his lack of a shirt underneath his jersey. Just
I never
seems
even
weird. And like he unbuttons the top two buttons and he doesn't have a shirt
he's
on a lot of the
time. He's a big, muscular.
Oh, he's a doof. And he doesn't run. How about when he got thrown out at third and we lost the run at home because he didn't slide?
Oh, that's right.
That annoyed
remember
me.
That.
That annoyed me a lot. Albert Elmore should be playing more. But how about, I thought for sure, Javi Baez seemed like the second coming of Starlin Castro for a long time. For a long time. A really good defender who's just going to swing out of his shoes, and he still does that way too often.
Yeah, he does.
But the game 2 nights ago on Thursday night, two outs, top of the ninth, we're down by a run with a runner on second, and he comes up with the single to score the run instead of just striking out trying to take the lead.
God bless. But then tonight, last night,
what did he do?
Bases loaded.
Yeah.
One run in. The go-ahead run has come in. Bases loaded.
Strikeout.
He watched one on the inner corner. He just let it come in. Oh, my God. If he had swung and missed, I would have felt okay with it. But you had a 2-2 count, and you're going to take that?
Let me say this in Javi's defense.
And I'm not a professional baseball player. I will never attest to be one. Don't even give me a bat and pretend I can swing it, even though I have played Little League. And I play mean softball, but
I will say this, Roger. The fact that you're telling me that Javi took a pitch, I'm going to accept that. Because
it was a great pitch.
It's Javi Baez swinging so hard you're worried he popped a vertebrae at a pitch that was 2 feet outside.
He does that every time.
He does. So the fact that he was actually being selective, I'm impressed by. I know he struck out with
the
base
loaded. He
had
already swung at two outside and ended up on his butt. And then he watches this one right in the breadbasket.
Well, then I got to give credit to the pitcher to say, watch this. I'm going to throw a strike and he's going to take it because he's so surprised that I'm throwing him another, actually throwing him a strike.
Oh, jeez.
Listen, he's not going to come through every single time. But his defense has been ridiculous.
Oh,
And he has come through decently at the plate. I mean, it's a very likable team with Rizzo and Bryant and Wilson Contreras and all
these
guys.
I love the guys on the team. They're great. They're great.
So I'm very hopeful for
them. I'm still a Cubs fan, always will be, though, as we've discussed before, you give me tickets to any baseball park, I'll go. I love baseball.
Oh, yeah.
I just love baseball.
Did I ever tell you that I went to Atlanta's new park this year?
I don't think you did.
I can't remember if I told you. I had to go for a one-day trip.
Oh, wait, I think
trip.
You did. It was on business.
Yeah, I had to
go videotape something
in Atlanta, and I forget who was in town, but there was a day game, so we went out. It was a day and night game. It was against the Mets, actually. They had a makeup doubleheader, so they had a day and night separate, you know, doubleheader game, and so we went out and saw a few innings in the new park, which was fine. It wasn't exciting. It wasn't like a, wow, this is a cool new park. It was kind of cookie cutter, but it was nice.
Huh.
It's always cool to go to another ballpark.
Yeah.
I will agree with that.
Yeah. Many years ago, I thought, wouldn't it be great to go all over the country, just get in a car and drive around and see a game at every park?
Yeah.
But now it's already been done 10 billion times.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people. Our own Kurt Vanderaw has done it.
Oh, really?
I believe he has been to every park. Yeah.
Wow.
I know
he was
working on it for quite some time.
Yeah. But now it's already been done. Now, I would like to play in every park.
Well, that's not going to happen, Raj. I hate to tell you.
Can I bring the water out? Can I bring the ball? Be the ball boy?
It would be cool. It would be so cool to just play a pickup game on Wrigley Field, wouldn't it? Could you imagine you do that with friends?
That would never happen, but that would be cool.
You never know.
What? Who are you going to talk to? You know somebody?
No, I don't know anybody. We're getting yelled at by the 815. Come on, you guys. You're making fools of yourself.
What?
Roger, don't be a typical Cub fan. Matt, come on.
Hap, I am a typical Cub
Hap
fan.
Hap is a rookie and has 22 home runs. Enjoy the team. I don't care if he's a rookie. That's no excuse. Play the game right. Put a T-shirt on.
But, has 22 but isn't that home kind runs. Of Madden's
has
approach to the team?
Runs.
No,
the
but that's,
this is my problem. Has 20,
he's a home run hitter. 20, that's it.
He has 22 home runs. He has all 22 right. home runs. So what if he has 22 home runs? He probably has 200 strikeouts, too. All these guys have... So Major League Baseball set a record this year for the most home runs in a season.
Yeah.
I want to know, have they set a record for the most strikeouts in a season as well? The game has become home run or strikeout, and it's annoying as hell.
I agree with you.
Give me a good bunt here.
I agree with you.
Nothing's better than when Wilson Where's Contreras a good solid lays down
hitter?
A bunt.
Where's a good solid hitter? Doesn't try to kill the ball. Doesn't try to drive in everything with a home run or get around on a home run. But that's what it seems like. And I said this last year. And then I said it again middle of this year when they had to start bringing up some of the rookies from the minors. This is a home run hitting team. You've overloaded it with home run hitters. You don't have the pure hitter who can place the ball
and just get on base for
and just
guys.
Get on base or move the runners along and not get an out.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Those are the teams of old where you had the pure hitters.
Well, that's why you're complaining about you got to be more consistent. The Cubs live and die by the long ball.
Exactly.
So you're going to have the games where you score 17 runs, and then the other days where nobody's hitting it, so you get none.
But then again, a lot of the other teams, the majority of the other teams, from what I'm seeing, and like what you just said about the record home runs, they're starting to go that way too. Yeah. And you can't do that. What are you going to bring up, all the guys from Vic Tanny's exercise place and give them baseball bats and have them all swing with one hand? You know?
Maybe.
Here's a home run.
Sells tickets. All right. Somebody just wrote to me, Babe Ruth had 714 home runs but 1,330 strikeouts. Got to swing to hit it. Now, that is not a good argument for the home run versus strikeout because 714 and 1330, he didn't even strike out twice for every home run. But most of these big home run hitters are hitting maybe 40 home runs, but they're striking out close to 200 times now. So that's a home run for every 5 strikeouts. Yeah. Babe Ruth had a home run for every 2 strikeouts. That's how it's gotten so far out of whack, is now it's a and home run for every 4 strikeouts, probably, with a lot of these guys.
And there's more than one on a team.
Yeah,
Babe Ruth was playing. He was basically the home run hitter.
He was hitting more home runs than the entire league.
Right.
When he hit 61 home runs, or 60 home runs was his max, I believe the rest of the American League combined didn't hit 60 home runs. It was insanity. All right, news coming up next, 720 WGN. Exactly at 4 o'clock in the morning, because that's the tight shift we run around here, people.
Wait a minute, get your pencil out.
Oh, no, I'm late.
Yeah, get your pencil out.
I have a pen.
All right, Penn.
Okay.
All right. 199 strikeouts.
Uh-huh.
46 home runs.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. Where's this other one? 56 home runs, 155 strikeouts.
Who's that?
That is Stanton from Miami.
He has a chance to break what I still consider the record of 61 home runs.
Well, wait a minute. That 61 home runs was broken.
By drug users.
All right, Mr. Asterisk.
I'm sorry, but it's been broken by Sosa, Maguire, and Bonds.
All right.
And their heads were bigger than, an inflatable.
Fine. Did you do your ID?
Yes. You did.
Okay. On time, a minute ago. Now you're making me late. You ruined the whole damn thing. Morning, everybody. Matt Bubala Show here on 720 WGN. Thank you for the news update, Mr. Badish. Jesse's got her birthday coming up this week, Raj.
So I've heard.
He's trying to talk us into taking her to the Cubs game on Wednesday.
Wait a minute. Wait. Taking her to the Cubs game? I thought she was going to pay for us.
Oh, no. She says, we should all go to the Cubs game on Wednesday. And I don't think that was, hey, I've got tickets. Why don't you guys come with?
Oh. See, I kind of heard it.
Read
the
that
other
one
way.
Wrong, huh, Raj?
Yeah. Well.
She's a producer. She doesn't have any money to take us all to the Cubs
game.
She's
got more money than I do.
Well, probably, but.
I just had to pay two big hospital bills from over a year ago. It took that long for the insurance company to go through.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Over a year. Yep.
You
one
just
for
were
me
told
and one
this
for Bridget.
Is what you owe?
Yeah. But we just got the bills.
Well, usually the hospital sends you the bill immediately, I
thought.
Nope.
Goes through the insurance company first.
Wow.
Nope.
We've just determined we're not going to use the hospital anymore.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
I agree with
we'll
you.
We'll have to talk about this again.
Yeah.
But I'm really coming on board the whole single payer thing. And I know that there are a lot of pitfalls with that.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember a couple of months ago I had on Natalie Schur, and she is a writer for Adam Ruins Everything.
Yeah,
by the way, I've got to start watching. Have you ever watched Adam Ruins Everything?
No.
It's on True TV, and I assume we
True
get that.
True TV?
Yeah, TRU. True TV. But on social media, there's little previews. And so basically the show is where they take some common perception we have, mm-hmm. and then they do a bunch of research, and Adam ruins it for you by telling you, well, here's how it really works.
I gotcha.
And it seems really good. So
that's
I'm interested.
Kind of a neat premise.
But anyway, Natalie, who works on the show, is a huge socialist. And
she had her on for like over an hour that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have some really radical ideas, mm-hmm. but one of the not that radical ideas is a single-payer system, which a lot of other countries have adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm for it now because it's gotten so out of control, our insurance costs.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, well, that's Obamacare, whatever. Obamacare, listen, and I love President Obama, mm-hmm. and I love the idea of Obamacare, mm-hmm. because I want everybody to have insurance. I don't think anybody should have to go through deciding whether or not to be healthy. And it's not always, well, it's your own fault. You were smoking or doing this. Yeah, sometimes it's that. But sometimes it's a genetic condition or it's life or God knows what. So when I left the Tribune Company, and I've told the story before, so I'll mm-hmm. keep it quick. But when I left the Tribune Company 10 years ago now, I had to buy my own insurance. And so I went to Blue Cross and I got the closest that I could get to the coverage we had here at the time, which was really good coverage, like a $500 deductible, $3,500 max out of pocket. I mean, it was good coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first bought it 10 years ago, it was like $1,400 every 2 months for our family of six. We have a big family, so it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
So it was like $700 a month. Last year, or as we entered 2017, it was going to jump up to $2,400 a month or $2,200 a month. Jeez. A month. So we were going to spend, what, $24,000
mm-hmm.
or $26,000 on our insurance coverage this year. And I finally said, we're not doing that.
Amazing.
So I went back to, I found
and
a guy.
And that doesn't cover everything. You still got to pay 20%.
Yeah.
You got a deductible.
Up,
you got this.
You know, you've got a deductible, but the out-of-pocket maximums were pretty low. It was like $3,500 for the family. It wasn't that bad. The coverage was really good. The expense up front was insane.
Right.
So we switched, stayed with Blue Cross, but switched to a plan that now still costs us like $1,200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's still expensive, but it's less than half of what it was going to be.
Right.
But now our deductible is $3,500.
Yeah.
We went from $500 deductible mm-hmm. to $3,500.
Yeah.
Our out-of-pocket maximum went from $3,500 to, I think, $14,750.
Yeah. Well, that's how they get you one way or the other.
But we looked at it as, okay, we'll pay much less up front. Our max out of pocket is still what we would have paid in the premiums. So we're looked at it as, okay, this still should make sense. If we use it, we'll end up paying what we would have paid for the premiums.
Yeah.
If not, we're whatever.
Yeah.
But then we, Michael felt really sick one day. His stomach was hurting him really bad. So I took him to the emergency care place by us.
Mm-hmm.
And then they warned us they won't accept our Blue Cross Blue Shield. They're going to make you pay for all this. But then they were worried it was his appendix, so they sent us over to the hospital.
Oh, jeez.
And turned out he was just backed up really bad. They did some x-rays. But we're going to end up spending about $2,000 on that day.
Yep.
And, you know, I hurt my other – so I had rotator cuff surgery like 4 years ago mm-hmm. on my right shoulder. I hurt my left shoulder playing hockey over the summer. And I don't know for sure, but it has not gone away. And I'm worried it could be also the rotator cuff.
You haven't gone in to check yet, have you?
I haven't. And now that I'm looking at the expense of everything, mm-hmm. I'm thinking I'm not going to bother doing this year.
Yeah.
So I am withholding health coverage for myself because
which is
of the
not
expense.
Good.
And Colleen even said after we're paying all these bills for Michael for what turned out to be nothing,
mm-hmm.
he needed Metamucil, that we're not going to the doctor unless it's blah, 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 blah. And while, of course, if there was something serious, we'd take our kids to the doctor.
Obviously.
We will think more, you know, if that same thing happened with Michael again, I wouldn't take him as quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And what if it is his appendix next time?
Right.
And that's a scary thought, that we're to the point now where we're thinking twice about our own health because of what we have to pay for.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like that.
Now, let me two things. One, I got a notice. We have health coverage through my pension. I mean, it's you know, we're paying more for it. Plus, I'm on Medicare now, and it's a Medicare hybrid. It's not just Medicare; it's the insurance company administering the Medicare.
Okay.
The pension company just notified us that they are doing away with the policy we had. In fact, the company that we had, because the premiums were getting too high for its members. And so we're all being, if we choose to, we will be automatically switched over to another company and identical coverage at a lower premium.
That seems like a win.
That is a win.
I'm waiting for the catch that you're about to bring.
Well, but I don't know the catch yet because I haven't looked at what the other plan. They said it's identical. Well, it can't be identical with the premiums lower. That's not, you just gave an example of how it can't be that way. Then the other thing was, I say, and you've gotten this from your insurance company, they'll send you, you know, what they've covered and what they haven't and who sent a bill to them and all that stuff. Do you get those sheets of paper?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, Colleen was just cursing out Blue Cross last week because it's all coming in like color paper. Why don't you quit wasting money on the color printing?
Well, we got one, and an anesthesiologist. People work, people go to school, they learn this stuff. I just don't like the cost of health care in this country. It has gotten too out of hand because here's the deal, and I've worked in the insurance business, and my wife has worked on the medical side dealing with insurance companies. So we know from whence we speak. The medical field is putting in codes approved by the insurance companies, and there is a range of charges they can charge within that code number based on what they think is appropriate for the work they did. I have no problems with being paid for your work. None. But when you always consistently put in the highest possible cost you can put in, and then the insurance company rejects your submission, and then you go back, use a different code, and submit something again, and try to get the most money possible from the insurance company, which again is why it took over a year to get the final bill from the hospital, then you're abusing the system. You are not there to treat the human being. You are there to get as much money as possible from the insurance company, which then has to do what?
Well, how do you know that that's what was being done there, though? I mean, is that just your assumption based on
it's taking my knowledge.
I will say that anesthesiologists have the highest insurance of anybody in the medical field, right?
Yes. Well, so, they have your life in their hands.
Yeah, so they have greater costs,
right?
I believe, and
but
things like that.
$14,000 for a charge for a small operation. That's the high end of the scale. And it was rejected by the insurance company.
What did the charge end up being?
Yeah, I have to look at the other sheets that came in. That's on the sheet that it was rejected on. I have to look at the next sheets and see when they resubmitted it.
815 writes, interesting to note, you just admitted that you have to ration care on yourself. That's exactly what would happen under a single-payer system, but on a grander scale, and that could be scary. Jess, we got to find somebody the next couple of weeks to come on and talk to us about single-payer, because I don't understand how exactly that would happen. I know, as I told Natalie when she was here, that when we were in Mexico last year, there were some people from Canada, and I was chatting with them about their health care. And one of them said, and people who advocate single payer try to discredit this. And there's a big social media thing going around, an interview with some Canadians saying this doesn't happen. But I met some Canadians who said it does. A guy that we met said, anybody with money in Canada that has a serious health issue comes to the U.S.
Really?
Taken care of. That's what they said. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do wonder about under a single payer system. So here's what I'm guessing happens a little bit. I mean, while doctors are there to save lives and stuff, they also, it's a high paying job. It's a very stressful, very crazy job.
Long hours.
You should be paid great money.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to a national single payer system, I imagine all of the money gets regulated then. You know, they're not going to pay bigger money to these better surgeons or better whatever. Mm-hmm. I imagine everything sort of gets nationalized, and this is what you're going to make if you're a doctor, if you're an anesthesiologist, if you're a surgeon, if you're this, if you're that. And to me, that takes away a lot of incentive to be the best, to be groundbreaking, to have a higher rate of success or things like that. Not that they're going to say, it's fine, I'm whatever, but America, you know, the whole idea of socialism versus capitalism is we can grow to become whatever, you know, this great, incredible thing. And that drives a lot of people. The freedom of that the harder I work, the more I make, the better I do for my family, et cetera.
Right.
If we start taking that away, I do think that fundamentally changes a lot of things and not necessarily for the better. But we do have to find a way to get health coverage to be more affordable and more people to be on it.
Yeah. And there is no perfect system. So I think what's being done, and rightfully so, is to find the most equitable system for all entities involved.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering who's advocating for the end user.
Well, and that's the thing is, I mean, the other argument for something like single payer is, right now, you have a system set up where companies profit on your health.
True. You know? It's a business.
For the insurance companies, they lose money the more they cover, the more they pay out, things like that. And they're there as a for-profit system. So that's concerning, you know, that their interests aren't completely in your health.
Well, if it's a for-profit, then you know you run a business.
I do.
It's what the market will bear.
Yeah.
If it's a for-profit.
So I don't know what the good answer is.
Yeah.
I don't know that there is one, but a lot of other countries have single payer, and maybe they're unhappy with it. I don't know. We'll Jess and I will talk about it this week. We'll try to find somebody maybe who can come chat with us.
That would be interesting to listen to.
Next week about something like that. It would be interesting. Actually, hopefully it'll be interesting, because that's a boring-ass topic.
Yeah, but it's a very current topic.
It's important. Topic.
It's
I know,
extremely important now.
But and that's probably why we're in this mess to begin with, because who the hell wants to even think about their insurance? Nobody. Yeah, I mean, who's the last person you want to sit next to at the dinner table at a party? the insurance guy.
Yeah, right? But and I think most people would say that they don't think about their insurance until they need it. But the peace of mind, which is so important to the end user, the peace of mind is knowing that you have it and you'll be able to afford it no matter what the emergency or what the situation.
I can't tell you how right you are, because I will say that now that we've gone through this year where we're paying less for the insurance,
mm-hmm.
I do feel like I'd rather be throwing the money away, like I feel like I was, and feel like we can go to the doctor at any time and not worry about it.
Yeah.
Now we're actually holding back. So if I ever get Black Dog to a point where it's making enough money, I will spend the stupid amount of money on the insurance, because I'd feel better that we're not going to make a poor decision because we thought of finances before health. And right now that's what we would do.
And here's the other thing. For older Americans or those disabled who cannot work, who are on fixed incomes,
yeah,
it becomes even more of a stressful situation, especially the older you get and more things start going wrong with your body.
I know, like my shoulder.
You ain't that old yet.
I'm getting there, Raj. Believe me.
Well, look, hey, it's your left shoulder now?
Yeah.
All right, so you go have
and
yours
the right
first.
One, I just tweaked the right one again. Oh, I played this week for the first time, and I tweaked the damn right one. So now I'm walking around with two bad wings.
Well, here's what
I'm not going to quit playing hockey. It drives that
no, that's
sucks.
Okay. So screw up the left one bad enough where you have to do the surgery, and then tell me how it was so that I can see if I want to have mine done.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to, you know what, maybe I go have them both at once. I ought to have surgery on like eight different things, because if I'm going to meet my maximum.
Yeah, you might as well get it all done at once.
God.
That's like I'm holding off getting my neck done.
All right. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break, and then I want to talk about how much you encourage your kids to do things that are really dumb. Follow me along on this next 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. Thanks for hanging out with us, Orion or Max. Probably Orion, coming up with the morning show in about half an hour from now. Hopefully you got a good Saturday, Sunday ahead of you. As Roger was telling us, we got the Cubs at noon today. And no Northwestern football today. I don't understand how you schedule a week off this early in the year. I imagine it's just a quirk of the schedule. This is when they needed to do
several
it.
Several Big Ten teams have
a week off already?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess taking a week off before they start the Big Ten schedule. Next weekend, Cats at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And we might go to that game, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
Although I'm a little worried about that one. Wisconsin's pretty good this year. Yeah. But it'd be fun to go up to Madison and see the campus. I've never been up there before.
You've never been there before?
I've passed through Madison many times when we went to St. Mary's in Winona, Minnesota. We always stopped in Madison, but never on the campus.
Oh, okay. We were on campus for a film festival. This was our first film from that summer program I told you about. That was the very second film festival that it was accepted into. And it did very well up there. Won a prize, and we saw the campus over the maybe 5 hours we were there. Walking into get something to eat, and the student union, and the back over to the building where they were showing the films and stuff. It seemed very nice. There's a beautiful lake right there. So
really?
Very very nice campus.
Speaking of film festivals, Judy Pilak's son Conlon is in the finals of a film festival in Elgin tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great illustrator, cartoonist.
He is.
She has been showing me the film that he's...
Too Evil.
Yeah, the film that is in is one he's been working on for about 2 years.
Because
she showed me a couple of years ago a very rough draft of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cute little movie.
Yeah.
It's very cute, very fun.
I had a Black Dog meeting with Conlon this week. We might hire him to do some animating
for us.
There
you go.
Yeah. And so that's out at the Hemmons tonight. And there's three finalists that are animated films and three finalists that are live action films. So good for him. And hopefully he comes up. And there's an audience favorite award. So if you attend tonight in Elgin, vote for Conlon Taffy. And Too Evil.
Pack the place.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so this story came out. I saw this last week, and I saw some audio or video of a mom speaking at her son's, I think at a memorial service for her son. This was over in England, a free runner. So parkour, you know what parkour is?
Yeah.
That's like running and jumping on things.
Yeah. I learned
anything,
that.
Trying never to jump on the ground,
the
right?
The first time I learned that was in a James Bond film.
Really?
At the very beginning of one of the James Bond films, there the guy he's chasing is doing parkour, sliding through rails and doing double flips over edges of buildings onto another building and kicking up and walking on the sides of buildings to go up to something else. And oh my gosh.
Is this one of the old Bond movies or
No.
One?
It's a Daniel Craig one? Well, old. It's not
If it's not Daniel Craig, it's old.
Yeah, it's Daniel Craig.
Okay, so it's a recent one. Well, I first learned of parkour an episode of The Office where they were trying to do it. Like, never touch. Well, maybe it's not the same thing, but they were walking around the office trying to never touch the ground. Like, jump from a table
That's
to a
just
chair.
Being goofy.
No, I don't know. They called it something. Anyways,
it's The Office.
The story read, a free runner died of catastrophic head injuries after he stuck his head out of a Paris metro to take a selfie. An inquest heard nigh Frankie Newman, 17, from Aldershot, Hampshire, traveled with his girlfriend and a group of friends to the French capital. They were on a train to the Eiffel Tower for the New Year's Eve fireworks when Nye climbed up between two carriages and was struck by an object. And so it goes on to say he was a free runner and his mom... His mom said he was having a great time. His girlfriend, Nicole, called later and was hysterical, told her he had been hurt. He was kept on life support, and then they turned it off. He worked as a coach for the sport of free running, which is running and acrobatics in an urban environment. Ms. Bradley said Nye died of head injuries and added, "It's desperate. He died doing what he wanted to do. As difficult as it is, he was a happier boy for having done it." And Jess has some audio from a memorial service she spoke at. Go ahead and hit that, Jess.
I think we should encourage our children to pursue their passions. No, I wasn't this relaxed originally, but obviously I'm desperate to promote it positively. There's risk in everything we do, and I think it's incumbent upon us, especially as parents of young people, to teach children about risk and to teach them to manage risk and cope risk. I think that's a far healthier approach than bubble wrapping children and not allowing them to get in touch with the environment, with nature, with green and gray spaces.
So I don't know why there was music behind that. Somebody made a video out of it. But, and I don't know if that was her being interviewed. Was that her, just, you know, was that her speaking at a memorial service, did it look like, or was that an interview?
That was part of the interview that was included through the memorial service. So it was from a video that was compiled together.
Okay. So if you look this boy up, he was, so he did parkour, free running, whatever, but he also was one of those kind of, I saw some selfies of him or photos of him, like standing on the edges of the rooftop of buildings, things like that. He took risk, and the mom talked about encouraging him because this is what he truly loved, and encouraging our kids to embrace risk and do what they love, but also to manage risk. And I that just struck me because here her son died because he was taking risks. And really a dumb risk, right? The way he died was they were on a train to Paris and he went out between the two carriages and stuck his head up and got hit by something. So that's something we would all tell our kids, don't ever do that. You would never do that. Don't do that. And if you ever saw it, I don't know if you see these videos on the internet, Raj, I'll see them sometimes of people jumping from building to building, hanging from ledges, taking selfies, just crazy stuff where you're like, what in the world are you doing?
And they're older. They're older.
They're
not like
I
was when I was in my, like, 10, 9 or 10, climbing onto the roof of the garage saying, it doesn't look that far.
Yeah, and the garage, you're going to break your ankle if you fall off of.
Right.
But these are people on top of tall buildings that will die, will absolutely die if they make a mistake. And they're jumping from ledge to ledge and hanging from their fingers and then bringing themselves back up and doing all sorts of crazy things. And So to hear a mom whose son died sort of because of this risk-taking nature to mm-hmm. say she wants to embrace and encourage it. And, you know, she said we shouldn't just bubble wrap our kids.
No, no, no.
But you got to think there's a line between bubble wrapping and, I'm sorry, but stupidity.
Teaching common sense.
Over what you're doing.
Yeah. You teach or show by example common sense.
Whenever I see these videos of people doing these incredibly dangerous things that look incredibly cool mm-hmm. because they're surviving, but just one little mistake and yeah. you're dead.
Yeah.
Oh, as a parent, I would just be.
And they do these things in movies, which unfortunately, even though as a child I wanted to emulate stuff I saw on the screen.
Sure.
But you learn that in the movies, they're shot a certain way. There are super tons of protections all over. It doesn't look as dangerous as they make it out to be because of the way they shoot it, because of the special effects
yeah.
or the padding or the stunt people. Or, you know, I'm reading a biography about John Wayne now. And for many of his stunts from in True Grit, including some of the horse riding, it wasn't him.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, it they sure made it look like it was him.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
That's the magic of the movies.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was interesting to hear a mom whose child died try to defend it. And maybe that's the type of thing you do because otherwise you'll drive yourself insane.
Yeah. How do you justify it?
If afterwards you have to always say to yourself, how did I not stop him? Why did I not be harder on him? And you know, she did say he did die happy and doing what he loved doing.
Now,
of course,
doing.
He wanted to survive,
yeah.
but he lived his life to his fullest of what he wanted to live it to. So maybe there's something to be said for that. Okay, yeah. We're late for the news. 4:35 in the morning. Let's get the headlines, Raj. WGN 720 Matt Bubala here with you. Thank you very much for being with us this morning, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the number, and Robert is called. And hey, Robert, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, I love your show. WGN is just the best.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that.
Hey, my neighbor, I grew up, I'm 58 years old now. When I went to high school, he had trampolines, I was in gym, I was in, you know, but everything with these tramps and these trampolines, you see them everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually had belts on, we had spotters, and they were real trampolines. They weren't these round, stupid things that you constantly see on the TV.
Right.
Yeah. But my neighbor got a big one, big round, stupid one. And I told him, I go, you should be spotting those kids. I go, because they might land wrong and really hurt themselves. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I got mind your own business.
Sure.
Well, last year his kid hit his neck wrong, and now he's paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh, my God.
Now, is it a one in a million that it could happen? Yeah, but, there again, we do allow our kids to. There's nothing wrong with allowing our kids to, you know, do crazy things because we did crazy things. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I snow ski. I do reverse flips, front flips. Now they're doing quadruple flips with three spins in them. I mean, everything seems to be getting crazier and crazier lately.
Yeah.
The more crazy things that you can do, everybody, you know, takes a picture, and next thing you know, you're on the internet. So I just think we're going a little bit too far.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, Robert, because I never would think twice about being on a trampoline or jumping on a trampoline until in recent years we've heard more and more about it. And a lot of people, I think, don't tell their insurance companies now, or insurance companies are not. I want to say that I've read that insurance companies are really unhappy with people having trampolines.
Well, and it's the same. I live in Oak Brook, and almost every one of my neighbors has a pool.
Right.
You can't have. Your insurance goes out the roof if you have a diving board.
Mm, interesting.
And you notice that high schools no longer, most of them don't have diving boards anymore. Most high schools don't have trampolines anymore. It's insurance and lawyers. So anyhow, great show.
Thank you so much for calling in, Robert. Thank you. Have a great morning. Well, he says it's insurance. Well, insurance because of the claims. That's why. Insurance wouldn't be charging through the roof if it wasn't for accidents happening and claims coming in. And here's a simple thing like a trampoline. You think, well, what's a trampoline? What's going to go wrong?
A lot can go wrong. I used to do the trampoline in high school gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
I was not very good. You know how you're supposed to be able to like go straight up in the air and do a flip and then come down in the same spot?
It didn't work out that way?
I started in the front and ended up in the back. I needed like 100 spotters.
Everybody, come here. Catch Roger. It's going to go wrong. All right. There has been a lot of talk about Colin Kaepernick. Donald Trump had a speech, I believe yesterday, in Alabama. I don't know how he jumps on this, but I probably thought he would get a roar out of the crowd. And he says he wants the NFL owners to just fire people who protest during the national anthem. In fact, he said, I want to hear him say, get that son of a bitch off the field. They're fired. I understand people that get upset about protesting the national anthem. I know I have friends whose families are in the military, and so they're very defensive about the national anthem. It's tough because the reason they fight is for our freedoms, and one of our freedoms would be to protest or to do whatever, you know, to have that freedom of speech. Colin Kaepernick, he started sitting, but then he changed it to kneeling during the national anthem. And I don't find that an egregious offense. I think it's okay for somebody to do that. I don't think the national anthem at the beginning of a sporting event, if it was there to honor the military who has fought for us or something very specific like that, then that's different. But it's just a representation of our country. And if you're protesting social injustice in our country or something that you feel strongly about and you kneel during the national anthem, you're not turning your back on the flag. You're not saying, I hate this country. You're taking a stand. Colin Kaepernick is doing more for people than most people we know. He has given an insane amount of money away over the last year to causes and things like that. There is a TV show called Black-ish. That's a really funny show. We've watched a number of times. This episode, Raj, I found the audio. This is not new. So this must be...
Is this the one I was talking about, I think, from last season?
I don't think it is. I do think it's from last season. I don't think it's the one you were talking about, okay, though. So let's give a listen to this here, if I can make this work. Hold on, uno momento. Hold on, let me do this, let me do that. Let's listen to this, and then we'll chat about it here in a sec.
You don't think I care about this country? I love this country, even though at times it doesn't love me back. For my whole life, my parents, my grandparents, me, for most black people, this system has never worked for us.
7 feet.
But we still play ball. Tried to do our best to live by the rules, even though we knew they would never work out in our favor.
Strange fruit.
Had to live in neighborhoods that you wouldn't drive through. Send our kids to schools with books so beat up you couldn't read them. Work jobs that you wouldn't even consider in your nightmares.
And blood at the roots.
Black people wake up every day believing that our lives are gonna change, even though everything around us says it's not. Truth be told, you ask most black people and they tell you that no matter who won this election, they didn't expect the hood to get better.
Strange fruit.
But they still voted because that's what you're supposed to do. You think I'm not sad that Hillary didn't win? That I'm not terrified about what Trump's about to do? I'm used to things not going my way. I'm sorry that you're not, and it's blowing your mind. So excuse me if I get a little offended because I didn't see all of this outrage when everything was happening to all of my people since we were stuffed on boats in chains. I love this country as much, if not more, than you do. And don't you ever forget that.
So that was from an episode of Black-ish, I think, aired last year. Roger, you did hear that before?
Yeah, that's the
that's
one.
That's the one?
Yeah.
So I just saw that on social media. I'd never seen it. And during that, I don't know how the actual episode played out. I want to say that maybe this has been re-edited because I don't know if the music was originally behind it. And when he's talking about some of the things his people went through, they're showing other video of like back in the 50s and segregation. And
yeah, I don't know which video you were watching. I didn't see the episode, but there was coverage of it in the news media the next day. Mm-hmm. And so that clip was on YouTube and attached to all the news stories on it and everything. And so that's how I saw it.
Okay.
That's how I found out about it.
So whenever I hear something like that, it gives me pause. And I want to say to people, so when you get so upset at Colin Kaepernick for protesting during the national anthem, put yourself in somebody else's shoes for a minute and what their life has been like and what they feel about certain things. Just because somebody is protesting against things doesn't mean they don't love the country. It means they want to fight to make it a better country. And that's not the worst thing in the world. Roger, Bears, yes. Steelers this weekend. Here's the thing. I am in a couple of gambling things. And one is a survivor pool, which you throw 20. I think it actually is 25 bucks this year. They upped it. 25 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever joins, you have to pick a winner each week. Just one winner.
Okay. Out of all the games.
Out of all the games, you pick one winner.
Okay.
If you win, you get to stay in the pool. If you lose, you're done.
Survive. Is it 25 bucks a week or just?
Nope, just for the season.
Okay.
And then it's winner take all at the end. There's no second and third. But each team you only pick once. So first week I picked the Bills. I think we're playing the Jets or something like that. I picked the Bills. They won. I cannot pick the Bills again now the rest of the year.
Ooh.
Last week, I can't remember who I picked, but they won. I think the Raiders. So,
does this go through the Super Bowl?
It goes until everybody's out, until there's a last man standing who wins all the money. Could go all the way to through the regular season. It's never made it that far.
Okay.
I think the furthest I've seen it goes like 12 weeks. We only have like 20 people in it, so it's not like it's going to last forever. And a few people got knocked out by the Patriots the first week. And so this weekend, my third week, I'm taking the Steelers. That's my lock.
That's a good bet.
Because it's the Bears. I also, in my fantasy team, which I'm 2-0 in fantasy, and that's better than I normally do because I don't pay enough attention to it. I always forget to move guys around, whatever, but I've tried to be good about it this year. I'm 2-0, and I had Seattle as my defense, but my backup defense is the Steelers. I moved them into the starting role this week. So I feel like if the Bears have a week like they had last week, there's going to be a pick six or something.
Yeah.
The defense might rack up some points.
There you go.
So I'm betting heavily on the Steelers this week. And I'm in a third thing. I'm in a pro pick'em pool.
Good Lord.
Well,
when do you have time to do work or anything?
All you got to do is pick a couple of games. It's really like takes 10 minutes. But it's fun. Then it makes Sundays kind of fun. That, you know, if the games are on, then you have some vested interest in what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so in the pick'em pool, you have all the games, you pick a winner, and then it's a confidence pool. You assign points. So if there's 16 games this weekend,
mm-hmm.
one game, you'll pick a winner and assign 16 points to it. Same thing all the way down to 1 point. And through 2 weeks, I haven't won a week yet, but I'm in first place. I'm tied for first place. I've never been in first place in it before.
So you got the most points, even though you
through
didn't
the 2 weeks.
Run.
Yeah, I finished like third the first week, second last week. Overall, I'm in first place. And there's some cash for that at the end of the year. You'd like to win a week. That gets you your money back if you can win 1 week.
That's not bad.
So that would be nice.
I won a handicap pot at bowling on Thursday.
How much was that worth?
28 bucks.
Nice. Did you blow it all back on root beer?
No, I dropped 10 more on the strike pot tickets. If they pick your ticket and then you
so you
throw
found
strike.
A way to lose it back.
But the strike pot was like 110 bucks.
Ooh, but you didn't win that.
I didn't win that. But I had six in a row on my first game.
Six strikes in a row?
Yeah. Ended up with a 242.
Holy cow.
And I had a handicap of 40, so I got up to 282.
I don't know. Wow, Raj. I don't think I've ever rolled a 200 game in my life. No, I don't bowl very often, like twice a year, but
my highest
six straight strikes.
Yeah, I was clean the whole first game, and then I fell apart.
Does clean the whole first game mean that you picked
no
up
opens.
All your spares?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I was.
Yeah, there were no opens.
I've never had a clean game. I know that much. That's impressive.
I have trouble with my 10 pins, and so I did pretty good Thursday. I picked up about 90% of them.
I have trouble with my 10 pins, too, in that I almost never pick up all 10 pins. All right. Orion, we'll check in with him next, 720 WGN. We'll say hi to Orion Samuelson in just a second. First up in the newsroom, Roger, what's going on in
BBC
North Korea?
BBC is reporting that there has been a tremor detected in North Korea. There's nothing more on that. China is speculating it could be an explosion. South Korea is claiming it's more likely a natural earthquake. We are watching for details on that.
One of the stories we were reading earlier tonight when we were talking about that said that one of the authors believed, with the experts they were talking to, that there would be some more testing before they ever did anything as dramatic as an H-bomb over the Pacific, that they need some more missile testing to make sure they could actually pull that off. So we'll find out later today whether or not that was an earthquake or maybe another underground test. More to come, and Roger will have updates as they happen.